The following essay was originally aired in 2004. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, September 12th, 10 a.m. Cascade Foothills, Willamette National Forest, Goodman Creek Trail. My labored breath condensing against the cool, moist air coalesces into fleeting clouds of vapor as I climb over the ridge and descend toward the unnamed creek snaking through this narrow rainforest valley. Early rains have reawakened the shaded understory, reviving the mosses, ferns, lichens, shrubs, and small flowering plants that carpet the humid forest floor. Sturdy, mature Douglas fir, western hemlock, and red cedar pillars support a dense, continuous evergreen ceiling 200 feet above. Vine maple and Oregon grape, coltsfoot, rhododendrons, wood sorrel, salal, and numerous species of ferns have arranged themselves in the shadowy darkness so that their glistening photosynthetic leaves absorb every available bit of dappled, filtered, and secondhand sunlight. Saturated clumps of golden green moss 2 inches thick cling to the spindly branches of red alder and vine maple. Creamy white deathcap Amanita mushrooms stand resolutely above the mossy litter, unfolding their waxy gills to release countless invisible spores into the air and soil. An erect alder snag next to the trail oozes pale gray oyster mushrooms from its decaying bark. Apparently, the nourishment the wood provides is not wholly adequate for the fungus. Researchers have observed tiny nematode worms tunneling and eating into the mushrooms. The oyster mushroom has specialized cells that splash toxins onto the nematodes as they burrow in. Hair-like cells then seek, invade, and digest the immobilized worms, supplementing the fungus's nitrogen-poor diet. The first apricot-colored chanterelles are pushing their way through the leaf litter. These are the holy grail of epicurean fungus hunters during the fall in the Pacific Northwest. Their flavor and abundance reward even novice mushroom gatherers. The ends of several fallen logs exude the shelf-like fruiting body of a striking fungus with a shiny mahogany-colored upper surface that appears varnished. The western varnished conch is referred to in ancient Chinese medicine as the mushroom of immortality. Practitioners believe that its use promotes longevity and good health and prevents cancer. Two olive-green banana slugs are busily devouring the margins of a large, badly damaged and partially decayed white rucula mushroom on the side of the path. A foot away, a pale yellow forest snail is eating the parasol-shaped cap of a tiny white mushroom. A black predatory carabid beetle crawls over the leaf litter a short distance away. This creature specializes in consuming snails in-house by sticking its peculiar narrowed head into their shells and devouring the meat inside. The buttressed, trailing roots of shaggy-barked western red cedar meander over the surface of the path. This was the tree of life to the first people of the Northwest forests. The tree's great size, precise grain, softness, and rot resistance, and its proximity to tidewater and riverbanks led to its extensive use for crafting canoes and giant totems. Entire villages built from huge cedar logs and broad cedar planks were common on the Pacific Northwest coast when Captain Cook sailed into the region in 1778. Countless implements were fashioned from cedar wood, and its fibrous bark was used extensively for clothing and other woven articles. A pair of pileated woodpeckers swoops up to the lower branch of a nearby Douglas fir and begins picking through its mossy exterior. These distinctive, crow-sized birds with their long neck, strong chisel-shaped bill, brilliant red crest, black body, and obvious white wing patch are the largest woodpecker species found in the U.S. 6-inch square holes carved boldly into decaying snags while they search for carpenter ants often betray their presence. Pileated woodpeckers are not often seen as they are uncommon and sparsely distributed in mature forests. A single pair needs about 1,000 acres containing many large diameter trees to survive. Oregon has 15 species of bats, most of which occur in the Willamette Valley. Look for bats foraging for insects at dusk. Anywhere close to water is a good place to see bats, and they may even fly over your backyard. These little creatures are good to have around, as they can eat up to 600 mosquitoes in an hour. The Valley Wildlife Refuges are all good places to see these fascinating animals. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y at MSN.com.